Hi everybody, my name's Stephen Hackney and welcome to my podcast. This is going to be a place where over the coming weeks and months I'm going to spend a little bit of time talking about life and faith and how we make sense of these two things and bring them together in our lives. And so we're going to be looking at both the good and the bad that comes to us and how we interpret some of this and how we make sense of it. It's my conviction that life is a journey.
That we have the ups and the downs that we go through, the highs and the lows, the good times and the difficult, challenging times. Of course, all of that is sometimes easier to manage than others. And how we make sense of that and how we interpret that often determines the way in which we live. So I've been pastoring now for around about 30 years. I've been involved in entrepreneurship for around about the past 20 years. And so it's out of that collected experience that I'm going to bring some of my thoughts to this particular podcast. So looking at life as a journey, the different angles that it takes, what gives it value, what gives our life definition, context, meaning and purpose. How we take some of the big issues of life and then represent them in our own experience, how we bring those things to life as we journey on. So that's some of the stuff that we're going to be having a look at. So I hope you'll come back and join these podcasts from time to time as they're released. And if you've got any feedback or questions that you want to put my way, then you'll have opportunity to do that as well. So this first episode, episode number one, is titled 82. 82. And 82 comes about for this particular reason. We all have 168 hours in our weeks. Whether we be rich, poor, young, old, makes no difference. Time and tide waits for no man, as they say, and we all have 168 hours in our week. If you take off 49 of those hours for sleeping, okay, maybe a bit less for some, perhaps a bit more for others, but if we say on average about 49 hours of those 168 we sleep each week, then if we're out at work or study, let's give ourselves, say, 37 hours as an average week for our work, for our study, for the things, the crafts of our lives that we engage ourselves in. That's leaving us with 82 hours to do everything else. Now, I don't know whether you feel pressure at that point, thinking about, wow, does that mean to say I've got 82 hours to fit everything else into? Well, yeah, that's what we're left with. If we're going to take 49 hours of sleep, 37 hours at work, we're going to left with 82 hours to do everything else. That's time with the family, time at church, if you go there, time for eating, and we don't want to miss lips. Exercise and lifelong learning. And anything else that you may care to throw into that mix. You've got 82 hours to do everything else in your life. So the question is, how are we going to spend those 82 hours? What are we going to do with that time? And more importantly, how are we going to manage the expectations that are attached to and associated with those 82 hours? Now, I hope you're not already feeling pressured by thinking, wow, how am I going to fit the rest of my life into those 82 hours? Because that's what we've got. So we need to take a little bit of a step back and think about it. The pressure of expectation, the pressure that we put upon ourselves, the pressure that other people put upon us, the pressure that maybe we feel God places on our lives if we are believers. How do we manage those expectations? We feel pressure. We feel squeezed. And the thing with being squeezed is that if we are squeezed too much, if we are squeezed for
too long, then there's nothing left to come out. We are empty. And pastorally, I think that this is my experience of both chatting to other people and also what goes off in my own life. How do I deal with being squeezed? Am I squeezing myself too much? Do I put too many expectations upon 82? Do you put too many expectations on 82? How are we managing our lives? How are we managing those expectations? Because the way that we manage them will determine how well we do life. And so it is important that we think about it. It's important that we consider it. It's important that we take time to measure our lives correctly in order that we can maximize and get the best value out of the hours that we have been given. Paul, when he was writing his letter to the church at Ephesus, he said, we are to make the most of every opportunity. So opportunities come our way, and this particular opportunity is measured in this number, 82, and how we spend it and how we use it. So we feel squeezed. It's a bit like that sponge. We take it out of the water and we squeeze it, and we squeeze more water.
It will come out of it. And what can we do in that situation? Well, there is nothing else that we can do apart from to immerse it and plunge it back into the water. Because that sponge, when it's empty, needs to be filled again. And that's true for you, and it's true for me. It's true for our lives. When we're busy doing different things in the context of our work and our family and our communities, then we have to be aware that all of our time, all of the time, our lives are pouring out. They're pouring out. It's like that sponge that's been squeezed, and we need to find the opportunity to take in again, to receive something so that we are refreshed. And part of that refreshing is learning how we manage the 82 hours that we all have to get everything in. Family, church, community, eating, friendship, exercise, lifelong learning, whatever it is that you want to put in there. Hobbies, we should mention. Yeah, I guess that's going to take a chunk of time too. It's all got to squeeze. It's all got to get in there if we're going to make sense of it. We need to learn to change the metaphor to breathe, both in and out. We need to discover the rhythm that allows the 82 to be all that it needs to be in order that we can live fulfilled and meaningful and purpose-led lives. Let's not squeeze ourselves too much. Let's not allow other people to squeeze us too much. Somebody said, if you don't know how to spend your time, other people will spend it for you. Are you one of those people? Yeah, people come along and they suggest this and they suggest that. They recommend that you get involved in this project or in that program, and before you know it, those 82 hours, they have just gone. People have spent your time. The 82 that's yours has been taken up by other people's agendas and priorities. And you just look around and think, how did I get into this position? Why do I feel so jaded? Why do I feel so tired? Why do I feel like I have lost my creative energy and creative ability? It's because your life is too full. You're too busy. There's too much happening. We need to slow the pace down. We need to look for the 82 and see, how am I going to take those hours and spend them wisely with those that we love and care for, our family and our friends, the investment of the hours that we want to share with those people that are really important to us. How do we prevent our lives from being consumed by things that take us into directions that really we don't want to travel in?
The art of a good life is great management. And we need to learn how to manage our lives really well. Squeezed by others? Yep, I know what you mean. I think I've been there myself many times, and I'm seeking to manage my experience of pastoral life and entrepreneurship and everything else that goes off in what is me. And I'm seeking to manage my agenda better. Maybe you can't attend that meeting. Maybe that meeting doesn't fit into the category of what is a priority for you. We don't want death by meetings. If we're going to a meeting, yeah, let's make it an important one. Let it be one that matters. Let it have a meaningful agenda. Let it be full of things that really, genuinely need to be discussed and decided upon. Otherwise, let's scrap the meeting. Is it really that important? Is it going to make that much difference? 30 years in pastoral ministry, I've sat in a lot of meetings. And as I reflect back now and look at them, I ask myself the question, how many of those meetings were really important? How many of them actually mattered? And so going forward, I'm looking at meetings from the perspective of what is on that agenda? Is it really going to make a difference? Is it important that I attend that meeting? What about you? The things that are coming your way, the decisions that you've got to make. Do you need that night out? Or would it be better spent in? Do you need to attend that situation, or could somebody else go for you? Could that time be used in a better way? Maybe an extra hour or two with the family. Perhaps some time to sit and reflect on the pace of your life. Maybe that opportunity to give it a different rhythm and a different flow. We have the expectations of others upon us all the time, and we need to learn how to manage that. Too much disruption destabilizes us. It upsets our equilibrium. It unnerves us. It destabilizes the pace and the flow and the rhythm and the routine of our lives. And we need to deal with that. And the expectations that we put on ourselves. Man, how many expectations are we putting upon ourselves that are just so unrealistic? They ought not to be there. We ought not to put ourselves under that level of pressure. Let me ask you, are you being fair on yourself? Are you being fair on your emotions, upon your body, upon your mind and your soul? Do you need to stop and reflect and think about everything that you have got on in terms of the agenda of your own life and the expectations that you carry? I remember a friend saying to me that when you are planning to go to a meeting, and yes, we do have to go to them, despite what we've just said, there are some that we have to attend, of course. When we are going to those meetings, in your diary, are you diarying time to allow to get there, to attend that meeting or that gathering, and time to get to the next place that you're going afterwards? If I'm just cramming the diary full of meetings, one after another, and not giving space in between, then man, I am just running around ragged, and I am doing myself no favours. We need to find pace and rhythm to our lives, and we need to manage our expectations well. It's okay to give ourselves some time. Remember, you are your greatest asset. If you're not well, then you're not good for anybody else. Love the Lord your God, Jesus said, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. We need to have a place of contentment in our hearts where we love and accept ourselves for who we are. And out of that love and out of that acceptance, we can then bless and minister into the lives of other people. What expectations do we put upon ourselves? Look after yourself. Take care. And what about God? This is a good one, because in the Christian family, we can often think, well, the expectations of God upon my life are so big and so heavy. There's so much that has to be done. There's so much pressure to conform and to perform. Really? Is that how it's supposed to be lived? Is this the life that Jesus came to teach us? Reminds me of what the prophet Micah said. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Some years ago, I came across a book, The Best of A.W. Tozer, and in one of the chapters in his book, he writes, God is easy to live with. And this is what Tozer has to say. Some of us are religiously jumpy and self-conscious because we know that God sees our every thought and is acquainted with all our ways. We need not be. God is the sum of all patience and the essence of kindly goodwill. We please him most, not by frantically trying to make ourselves good, but by throwing ourselves into his arms with all our imperfections and believing that he understands everything and loves us still. God, he understands everything about you. All your strengths, your weaknesses, your good points, your bad points, God knows and understands everything about you, and he loves you still. May God bless our lives as we walk in his grace and peace. Amen.